Praise God. And this morning we are looking at how to be led by the Spirit. We have talked about the voice of the Spirit man, the inward voice of the Spirit man, and what the voice of the Spirit man is like, and how the Spirit man does do a high measure of leading and guidance. In fact, the inward voice and the inward witness takes about maybe about 90 to 95% of the leadings of God in our life, in the daily decisions of life, in the common daily affairs of this life. And it's a powerful area, which is why we stretch it and we cover it for some time. And now, as we move on to the next area of leading, we have covered two: the inward witness, and then we have covered the inward voice. And from this morning onwards, we are covering on the third area of being led by the Spirit, which is the voice of the Holy Spirit Himself. The Holy Spirit lives inside us, and He makes His home in our spirits. Most of the time, all that our leadings have consisted is the inward voice, which is a human spirit receiving directions from the Holy Spirit and then conveying it unto us, very indirect. And the leading is very indirect unto our lives. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks directly into our lives. And that voice that comes forth, which is still from our human spirit realm, from inside us, there is a difference in the tone and the quality of the voice. And most of the time when we begin to teach on this area, people will ask, what is the difference between the voice of the human spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit? Before we could tell the difference and know how to recognize them, we need to know what are the actual differences that are involved. And that's what we're going to cover this morning. The first difference in the voice of the Holy Spirit from the voice of the human spirit is in the area of what I call presence. There is a different presence that is involved. And it's just like James here, right? And let's say that he represents the human spirit. And then when we have his daddy, Brother Albert, here, and he represents, let's say, the Holy Spirit. And let's say that all the time when, and of course the Holy Spirit would have connection to the Lord Jesus at the right hand of God and the Father God on the throne. And every time the Father wants to speak anything to me or the Holy Spirit wants to say anything to me, he would... Alright, let's bring both of you up, right? It's easy for those on that side to see you. Praise God. So we have Brother James here representing the human spirit, Brother Albert here representing the Holy Spirit. And here am I, let's say, representing the human soul. And so every time the Father God and the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, has anything for me, anything to tell me, the Holy Spirit will communicate it to the human spirit. And so he would speak to the human spirit, and then the human spirit will communicate it to me, right? So I would feel and sense the voice of the human spirit. I would know his hands, right? So, all right, go stand further here, and Brother Albert, just stand there, and okay. Let's join hands with Brother Albert there. Alright. And so let's say the Holy Spirit communicates it to the human spirit. The human spirit communicates it to me. And I sense what that transference of information is like. That communication from the spirit realm. I learn to recognize his voice, the voice of the human spirit. I learn to recognize the inward witness, and all the sensations of the spirit man, and physically, let's say, there's a chain of line of command. So I recognize his hands, right? Whether it's soft or rough, wet or dry, right? I'm talking in the natural first. Some people's hands are dry, some people's hands are wet. Some people's hands are smooth, some people's hands are rough. Right? You don't believe, you check with your neighbor. And, right, my own hands tend to be on the wet side and on the smooth side. And so, as I learned to feel his hands, I recognize his hand. And, let's see your hands here. Okay. Now, his hands is on the dry and the rough one. Let's say that there are only these two signals, right? Let's say in the natural that let's say he wants to communicate to me. So when he stretches his hands with me, let's say I'm blindfolded, I would know that it's Brother Albert's hand, right? Can easily recognize it in the natural, his hand, right? I could feel his hand, and slightly more muscular than James, right? Chubbier. He's a lot. And so I recognize it. And then, if it's his hand, James' hand, I could recognize it. There's a way that I could recognize the natural because I could tell the difference in the feel, in the natural. So there is a different feel from the Holy Spirit to the human spirit, right? You join hands there. Sometimes, and most of the time, the human spirit will communicate to me. So I learn to recognize the touch of the human spirit. I learn to recognize the voice of the human spirit. And I get familiar with the quote-unquote spiritual hands of the human spirit. And once in a while, there's this hand that reach out to me. And I say, hey, it feels different. Now I have to learn what this difference is, so that I could recognize his hands. Your hands feel strong. Strong. You got strong hands. And I could learn the difference between those hands. So sometimes the Holy Spirit reaches directly through the human spirit, but it's his hands stretching right through. Right? Then here I might say, oi, these hands are different. And that's what happens sometimes in the spirit realm. Right? Praise God. Thank you so much. And the Holy Spirit reaches out through the human spirit, and his voice resonates through. Not just the voice of the human spirit, it's the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we need to know what is the difference, that we can differentiate it. So number one, the difference is what I call presence. Whenever the Holy Spirit speaks, he carries a different presence. Every one of us carry a certain presence. And our voices are, generally speaking, very, very different. If you have your back turned from me, and I take the mic, you could recognize it's my voice. But if another person comes, you could also tell that it's a different person. So we recognize the difference in the voices. Remember that our human spirit and the Holy Spirit are two separate and different persons. They are one. The Bible says that they who are in the Lord, are joined to the Lord, are one spirit with the Lord. One in a sense of union. But there are still two separate entities and personalities involved. The personality of the Holy Spirit is different from the personality of human spirit, although in nature they are the same. They are two separate spiritual entities. And the Holy Spirit carries a very commanding, strong presence. And if you remember that we said in the five witnesses of the human spirit that when the Holy Spirit operates a gift, there is the sensation of suneko. You remember that? There are five sensations. Embryo, my, and all the various sensations. And the last one we covered was suneko. Suneko, which is found in Acts chapter 18. How the a spirit of God just came upon the Apostle Paul, and he was really constrained by the Spirit to do something. Now, suneko is the word that means, the word sun means together with. And it's the word that means the Holy Spirit is directly involved. And it carries a very strong presence. In other words, when the Holy Spirit speaks, there is a measure, depending on the degree, of the anointing upon. All the time when the human spirit speaks, it's only the anointing within. We operate in it all the time. The anointing within is 24 hours. It operates all the time. But the anointing upon comes as the Spirit will. And every time when the Holy Spirit speaks, which includes, of course, every time when Jesus speaks or when the Father speaks, they carry with them an anointing upon. That's how we begin to recognize the difference between human spirit and the Holy Spirit. There is an anointing upon, in whatever degree. Sometimes it's just a small measure, but there still is an anointing upon. A great difference. And I realized that possibly the average Christian cannot differentiate between the anointing upon and anointing within. That's why it makes it more difficult for them to differentiate between the voice of the human spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit. If we cannot differentiate between the anointing upon and anointing within, we will find it very difficult to differentiate between the voice of the human spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit. So what do we mean by a presence? And remember that as I go into details in this area, we do not want to give you an impression that that is the only type of presence or the only atmosphere he brings. But I bring some illustrations to help us understand what it's like. But it's not limited to that. Remember that. Sometimes when you have a prayer meeting, at the end of it, there is a certain type of presence that is hanging over the air. I'm talking about spiritual presence. Now, that presence is the presence of an anointing upon that has a reason. Sense the presence of God right now. Right? Just sense. Whatever your sensory ability is right now. Just sense what is it like now in this atmosphere right now. Right? Now, what we have now that you are sensing is just what I call normal. Normal flow. If the Spirit is ever speaking, it will be more He's speaking through me. That's all. Using my voice. But it's what I call normal. Normal level. Normal level means the anointing is right now in the teaching anointing is upon me, but it has not really come upon you. Upon your lives. Right now, what we're going to do, you close your eyes for a moment. Let's just pray very softly in tongues until we get that present and atmosphere, like so that I could illustrate it with your actual experience. Right? Just pray very softly in tongues. Nirihandara mahasike bariyandara mahasike bariyandara mahati viriyandara mahasikara bahati viriyandara bahashadara bas. Very softly with your eyes closed, lift up both your hands to God very softly and sing very softly and very gently. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the
The living God fall afresh on me.
Now notice there is a certain atmosphere in the air right now. You notice there is a difference. This type of atmosphere that we are having right now is what some Christians describe this way. I feel like crying. I feel like weeping. What are they talking about? Anointing upon. Anointing upon. It's like sometimes when you step into a place, anointing upon comes on you, you just cry. And this kind of atmosphere is what we call, these are the words that people use. Touching. Right? To touch. It is not a natural kind of thing. This is a spiritual realm. There is a natural duplication of that, but it's nothing like that. So this is what I call the atmosphere. Right? Trying to illustrate so they could experience it. And what we have right now as we worship God, and as we sang and spoke in tongues together, was create an anointing upon, an atmosphere that is there. And if you notice that, usually, I would never operate in the gifts until that kind of atmosphere is there. If it's not there, I will not operate in the gifts. Because the gifts, when you operate, you need an anointing to come upon the people. If it's not there, I will not. And it depends on the level. This is what I call the experience of Suneko. You experience what the anointing upon is like. And unless it is there, we cannot operate. You can only operate on a human spirit level, but not on the Holy Spirit level, where His voice comes through. And this is what we mean by atmosphere or presence. When the Holy Spirit speaks, He carries with Him that kind of atmosphere. He creates it. He creates the atmosphere. And we could sense that the atmosphere is touching. It touches even our emotions. You feel like, sometimes you feel like crying, you feel like weeping, or you feel like just being still in His presence. And that's what we mean by presence and atmosphere that is brought forth by God. It's brought forth by God. And another way that we could illustrate to let you experience this, let's say, my brother, would you come right up? Praise God. Yeah. Like we had shared the last session, and we could discern some things with the human spirit, right? We could pick up some things. Now, as we pick up those things with the human spirit, it's not the voice of the Holy Spirit yet. We do not prophesy with the voice of the human spirit speaking to us. And prophecy, we need to use the word I perceive, but not so much as thus says the Lord. For we are only perceiving line upon line, precept upon precept. And so now my spirit is perceiving right now His spiritual life. Spirit pick up spirit. It's not the voice of the Holy Spirit yet, but just my spirit perceiving. And I perceive that He's reaching out into some things, and there are times that my brother sense that there are things in his life that that he felt is hindering his spiritual life and is reaching to overcome them. And sometimes feels a bit self-condemned. And as he reaches out and he feels his inadequacy, right? All these things are what I call I perceive in the spirit. I perceive. And then as I, that is in his past, and as I look into his future, and I perceive that God is building him, I could perceive that he has a role, an active role in a certain fellowship. And I could perceive that God is going to use him to and train him into a position of leadership in churches. And that will be his future. All these are perceiving in my human spirit. And as I reach out further unto God, right, you can lay on your hands unto God. And then there comes a time when the Holy Spirit starts speaking. And that's different. That's an anointing upon. And so I wait upon the Spirit. And as I minister first, it's my spirit perceiving. My spirit perceiving. My spirit receive it from the Holy Spirit. And as my spirit perceive from the Holy Spirit, right, I could give and say, I perceive. These are the things that I sense. And these are all the various areas. And this is where the voice of Spirit starts speaking. And thus says the Lord God, that he has called you and he has pulled you out from the miry clay. And he has taken you out of circumstances that were beyond your control and placed you into circumstances where you are in control. And God says that he is going to continue to anoint your life, and you're going to know a measure of his presence. And you will be able to reach out into the realm of the Spirit. And you will be a lighthouse unto others. And God is going to cause that there are times that you would have opportunity where you would go forth and you will be able to lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. And yes, there will be those around you who will share with you and say there are problems to you. And the Spirit of God within you will rise up within you, and you shall reach unto them and say, I believe I have a word of the Lord for you. I believe that God has said something to me about you. And you shall be able to go forth and lay hands upon them and cause them to recover and cause them to be blessed, cause them to be edified. And yes, I will send you. I will send you even unto aid and a help unto other men of God. And you will be almost like a right hand unto them. And you will be used, you and your family. And you will be that role of encouraging role. And there will be men of God who will need you and rely upon your skill and your help. And you will stand in that place and position that I have called and chosen you. In Jesus' name, right? That is different, right? That's a prophecy, right? That's different. Do you notice the atmosphere is different, right? The atmosphere is different in the two. I perceive, and that says a lot, is different. And we need to know the difference between perceiving and the gift operating. It's different. Perceiving is with a human spirit. The gift operating is with us, thus says the Lord. And it carries a different presence. A different presence. Now, there are two ways the presence can come. It can just come because the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And we know he can do it anytime he wants. It can come at odd time. And suddenly, you just sense a presence. But his presence is always announced. It's just like in normal Christian weddings, you know when the bride comes. I mean, you're supposed to know when she comes. If all things turn out well. Sometimes she comes and we don't know. Right? We're supposed to know when the bride comes. How do we know? Because when the bride comes, the music sounds. Dang, 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 dang. Right? It gets your attention. Sound like, dang, dang, dang. Right? Somebody should change it to a different tune. Right? Maybe when some of you get married, you may change the tune. Ta-da-dang! 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 Alright. So anyway, the normal traditional tune goes, dang, 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 dang. And everybody knows. You know the bride has arrived. But when you hear the music, you may not see the bride yet. But you know the bride is coming. And then you see those flower girls, the page boys, and all of them slowly marching in, right? Then you know the bride is coming. The bride is coming. And we know that, you know, it's very seldom that you have the flower girl marching in. Ding, 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 ding. And then she comes in. Then we wait for an hour. Where's the bride? No, you never, right? If we ever wait, we wait for the whole troop. If we ever wait for the bride, we wait for the whole troop. Which we have. And it will always be, when they come, when the bride comes, she comes with her entourage. Everybody, all those, the flower girl, the page boy, the bridesmaid, and the one who gives her away, all the whole entourage would come together with her. You won't find one coming, daddling in, and then a long time, and didn't see the rest of them. And suddenly here comes the bride's father without the bride. And comes the best, bridesmaid, and there's no bride. It wouldn't be like that. The whole group will come together. In the same way as sometimes out on the streets, you hear these outriders coming, right? And they would signal, and there comes all these motorbikes with all their lights flashing, big huge bikes. And I don't know, I forgot what the sound. How's the signal like? Right? Is it yow, 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 yow? All right. Whatever the sound. I don't want to give the ambulance one, the wrong one. Right. So, and then here comes this outriders coming. Yong, 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 yong. And if you're riding on the road, you quickly keep on the left to let them pass. Right? To let those dignitaries pass you by as a sign of respect to them. And so, you will find that they are always together as a group. You wouldn't find that, you know, here comes the outrider. Yung, 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 yung. And you pull to your left. And you waited. And waited. And waited. And here comes a lorry. Here comes a minibus. Here comes all kinds of cars. And then finally, there comes the dignitary in their huge cars. You wouldn't find that, right? It would be ridiculous, right? To just give way and hear the, here comes the outrider, yow, 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 and you give way and you find bus 11 passing by, right? You wouldn't. They are always together. They are always together. And so in the same way, when the Spirit speaks, He always accompanies it with His presence. With His presence. And you could sense it sometime just before He speaks. He sends His entourage, His outrider presence. It builds up. And you know He's going to speak. He's going to say something. It can be anytime, anywhere, any place. So I mentioned that there are two experiences of His presence. Sometimes His presence is experienced as a result of our fellowship with Him. And we build ourselves to that presence where it's easy for Him to speak. The other time is when it's other activities. It could be any time. Perhaps you're just about to take your lunch, or you're just about to take your breakfast, or you're just in the middle of your food. Have you ever had that? In the middle of your wonton mee, you're scooping it out with the chopsticks, somewhere about 6 inches between the plate and your mouth, and it's hanging in between as you're coming. There comes this presence of God pointing upon you. Right? It can come anytime. But you get the presence before you get the voice. It's a split second. You won't suddenly get a voice that says, "Hear me!" And you're so shocked that the wonton mee gets scattered all over your face. You get the presence first. The presence. And just like Kenneth Hagin, you remember how in his biography, he mentioned how he went to his kitchen. From his den to his kitchen. And they call their living room dens. And because they're lions. Anyway, so as he took his cup of coffee, whatever it was, I think it was coffee. And on his way from the kitchen to his living room, there was a presence. And with the presence was a voice. And a knowing. He says, the anointing of teaching came on him. Just drop on him. That's the presence that will accompany the voice. And it will be a split second, or sometimes it could be long hours, or sometimes weeks. Just as I mentioned how about a week or so before the Lord appeared to me, I could sense something building up in the spiritual atmosphere. I don't know what it was, but I know that something is building up. Something good is going to happen. That sensation that comes. That's when the Lord appeared. And one of my friends who had Jesus appear to him also, and he said 3 weeks before that, he sensed God dealing in his life about holiness. There seems to be a preparation. And remember in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, before God spoke to them, God said, sanctify yourself 3 days. 3 days. They must prepare themselves. So sometimes it's a long length of time. Sometimes it's just a split second. We just sense His presence, like the ringing of the telephone, you know. That's what I call the anointing, the atmosphere, the presence that comes. And you know He's going to say something. You know that He's going to, the Holy Spirit's voice is going to operate. Now the human spirit just speaks all the time. Just telling you things all the time. Because we have to live in the anointing within all the time. He just speaks all the time. But the Holy Spirit speaks at special times. And He carries a strong presence. Or sometimes the presence is sent forth to us before He speaks. Sometimes the presence is built up before He speaks. Let's look at the book of Acts for a moment. Let's look at Acts. Chapter. Let's read that. Acts chapter 5. And verse 32. Says, and we are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Now, Peter declares that the Holy Spirit is a witness also together with them. Then it tells us that many times when Peter was speaking forth, the voice of the Holy Spirit could be heard in that voice. Now just turn back one chapter to Acts chapter 4. In verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and he said powerful things to them that really convicted them. You notice the words that Peter was filled with the Spirit and then he spoke. Why does the Bible record that phrase? What Peter sensed was an anointing coming upon him. He sensed a presence come upon his life. And the Holy Spirit probably will have communicated something to him. And when we say that the Holy Spirit's voice is loud and clear, it may not mean that anybody else heard it but you. You may be the only one whom he speaks to. But there's an atmosphere. Peter had an atmosphere. He was filled with the Spirit and he heard some things. And I believe he spoke some of the things the Spirit spoke to him. It just come out from him. There is, being filled with the Spirit is an atmosphere. We have to be filled all the time. But these are special occasions when the Spirit's anointing upon came. Now there are other instances Like in the book of Acts, chapter 13, as they encounter Elymas the sorcerer, in verse 9, Paul, that I'm called Saul, in verse 9, Acts 13, verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently on him. Again, he uses the expression, Paul filled with the Spirit. What does it mean? As Paul was preaching and ministering, suddenly there came this special presence. And he did a very unusual thing, which you normally don't do. He pronounced judgment on Elymas, which you normally will not do without an anointing upon. It's a special operation of the gift of faith. As he spoke and decreed a judgment of God, it came upon his life. We understand that one of the operations of the gift of faith is an anointing to speak words, powerful words. It will be like the words you speak will be like the words of God. So that is an example of the atmosphere coming. And sometimes I sense that it could come anytime. That I remember when we were starting off in a ministry, and at the time we had it registered as Alleluia Christian Missions in Penang. And we are doing all we can in the mass media. We printed some magazines, and we put everything into those magazines. I remember one of the first magazine we printed, and then we just printed it by faith. The bill will come to about $2,000. That was a lot during that time, and so a group of us were attending a certain house fellowship. And in the house fellowship, I could sense this presence. So after the meeting, the people were all just fellowshipping. I quickly get together, all of them, in our, all those of us from that team. Because I sense a presence, and I sense the Holy Spirit speaking. Pray now for the finances. It's a very unusual place to pray. Normally you do your prayer in your closet or somewhere else, not in somebody else's house. But there was a presence, and there was an instruction. It was not just the human spirit impressing, and I perceive it's the right thing to do. No, there was like this urgency that is involved. This presence, this sweet, nice, powerful, tangible, touching, feelable, cryable presence. And I told all the men, I said, let's pray now. We joined hands together, we pray for the finances. Within the next week or two, a check came for the exact amount. Because the Holy Spirit tells us, speaks to us. And sometimes His voice comes out. He will announce, He will send His presence, He will send the bridesmaid. You will hear within your human spirit. Dang, 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 dang. Right? I don't know what His music is like. Maybe He makes different music in each one of our lives. And that's scriptural, Ephesians 5 verse 18 and 19. Making melody in my heart. Making melody in my heart. Right? He makes melody in our heart. So in each one of us, He may have a different tune. Perhaps in Indra Shen's one, it may be, ding, ding, ding. Then you go, yes, Holy Spirit. Right? In yours, it could be, ta-da-dang, ta-da-dang, right? And, right? But there will be a signal, you know it. And in yours, it could be, it. Right? But there will be a signal that you know, you could recognize his going to say something. He has sent His bridesmaid and His entourage, His outriders. And you're sensing it.
Pay attention. He's going to speak. Worship Him. And let that presence grow stronger. And He's going to speak. So there was this experience of being filled with the Spirit. You could almost describe the experience of His presence coming like being filled with the Spirit afresh. That feeling afresh of the Spirit coming. And you know He's going to speak. So sometimes, as we say that there is a difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the human spirit. First difference is presence. A presence can come sent by Him. The presence can come built by us. Like in Acts 13, verse 1 to 3, the presence was more built up. It was more the leadership of the Antioch church coming together, and they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. And I can tell you, you create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit. If we were to spend that time with the Lord, that is why in the overnight prayer, it's very easy for the Holy Spirit to speak, especially at the end of the meeting. Why we have built an atmosphere, like that song says, Jesus, we enthrone you. We have enthroned and created an atmosphere that He could easily speak. So He carries with His voice a presence, and you can build either ways. It could be built, and then it's why every time when you build a presence, He's not obligated to speak to you, but He usually does. He usually does. Or we have prepared ourselves. It could be in the early morning. As you get up in the early morning, worshipping, His voice sounds loud and clear. It could be late at night and you spend time with Him in His presence and you spend hours worshipping Him. His voice comes loud and clear. The voice of the Holy Spirit. He carries with Him a presence. The second difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit and human spirit is in what I call authority. The first is presence, the second is authority. When the Holy Spirit speaks, you don't argue, you don't question. You only obey. Because sometimes He doesn't explain why. It's left to your human spirit to sometimes find out why. And depending on our maturity in God, sometimes our human spirit knows why. It's different, as I have shown, how in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, although it's in a question of marriage, yet Paul uses this principle here. He says in verse 12, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, say. But verse 10 says, now to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. And notice the difference, chapter 7, verse 10, and then verse 11, 12. He says, this is I commanding, I'm telling you something, he says, but it is not only I, he says, this is where, thus says the Lord. My friend, that means you cannot change it. You cannot change it. Now you understand now why God has to mix the instructions to our life, so that He gives opportunities for all of us to function in Him. Imagine if all our life we function with thus says the Lord. Come to you, you know, saying, thus says the Lord, make the coffee. You know, you cannot even change it to Milo. You couldn't. Imagine if somebody go around with thus says the Lord all the time. You can't argue. Imagine if all our committee meetings, I go with thus says the Lord, there's no more discussion. Because if you discuss, it means disobedience. If the Lord says, thus says the Lord, do it, there's no more discussion. We only have one choice, obedience. In fact, we've got the other choice, the disobedience. Which is why we don't conduct our committee meetings or annual general meetings with what thus says the Lord. Neither do I when we fellowship with other ministries or we fellowship with those of you who work together with me, you will find that very seldom I say, "Thus says the Lord." Why? Because I want to give you an opportunity to hear Him too. Sometimes I may hear from the Lord, but I don't know. Tell yet. Because if every time I tell, I become like God to you, which is not what God wants us to be. Imagine every time you say, "Thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord." There's no more discussion. Supposing we are coming together and we're discussing, let's say a renovation project. And that's the way you operate. Says, "The Lord says that the carpet must be polka dot." We all may doubt that it's the Lord. But we cannot argue because you say, "Thus says the Lord." The only possibility of discussion is this. When you said, "I perceive it will be good to have a carpet of this color." Then the rest will say, "Well, how about this?" Then you can discuss. That means it's still subject to other sub-laws and other factors coming in. Like I would advise sometimes people, I say, I would tell them, okay, this is I perceiving. So that they know that they could subtract and minus a little bit here and there. That is my spirit perceiving. See, when our spirit perceiving, you have to see the difference in terms of light and power. When it's our human spirit perceiving, it's just like a worm's eye view of circumstances. Worm's eye view. Do worms have eyes? Let's say this tiny little worm's. But see, I know that worms go by feel, right? I'm just illustrating. And it's just a worm's eye view from down there. And surely you know that it's just like the three blind men touching the elephant. One of them touched the elephant in the back. Say, "An elephant is like a rope. I perceive that an elephant is like a rope." You see, right? He is. It's a good thing the elephant didn't kick him while he's pulling the tail. Another guy put his hands around the elephant's leg. He could feel it around. And he says, "I perceive," which is right, he perceived in the natural, "that an elephant is like a tree." See, it's like a tree trunk. Is it right or wrong? It's right. What he say is right. What that fellow say is also right. But he has one part of the elephant is that big. Then another guy touched the elephant's nose. It's moving all the time. He said, "Oh no, you guys, I perceive that an elephant is like a snake." Is he right? He is. But he's talking about the front part of the elephant. And perceiving is like that. Snail's eye view. So Paul, from his context, was perceiving into the marriage relationship, trying to get sub-laws and sub-sub-laws to govern people's life, to guide them. And he's saying, "I perceive that in this situation it could be this way." That means we could add sub-sub-laws to it as we perceive clearer through time, in our situation, in our context. You say, "Thus says the Lord." Sorry, there's no more discussion. One of the blind men comes around the elephant's leg and say, "Thus says the Lord, elephants are tree trunk and all of you are wrong." The only way we could argue with the guy is to say, "No, that is not thus says the Lord," which means rejecting God to the person. We don't run meetings that way. We cannot run committee meetings that way. And what's the use of the committee? You always give that chance for people to sense what is right. Now, there's a mixture. We need both. Sometimes I will say, alright, this is what I know that God wants us to do. Right? Just one small part. Then there are so many areas we could approach the thing. Then you say, okay, I perceive this is the right approach, this is the wrong approach, this is the other approach. So there is a mixture. But you cannot have everything, "Thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord."
Thus says the Lord. Sometimes it's not the Lord. So there is what I call a commanding presence. When the Holy Spirit speaks, you cannot change. To change it is to disobey. Now I have sometimes some instructions given to me from God, where thus says the Lord. And I don't compromise on that. When I hear thus says the Lord, don't try to change me. You will never succeed. I stick to it. Even you drop an atomic bomb, makes no difference. If I hear, thus says the Lord, that's it. That's it. It's immutable, unchangeable. Like, there's some things the Lord asked me to do. That is, you can send 1,000 people to speak to me. It would not change if I have heard from the Lord. I'm not persuadable if I hear, thus says the Lord. And that's my nature. Possibly that's the reason why, you know, God used me to trust into certain hard, tough areas. I need to do that. Otherwise, we cannot work and press on to do the will of God in some areas. We have to hear, thus says the Lord. And there are other times when it's perceiving. Perceiving is easy. I'm pliable. You know, if you say, I perceive this is the way to do things. This is another way to do things. Like, let's illustrate. Say, last time we had half of this auditorium. I knew, thus says the Lord, time to expand. Time to expand. So we're going to expand. But the details has a lot of things. Or when we move into this place, we were in a hotel. I knew that we have to move into a place. That was with thus says the Lord. And then when we began renovating this place, trying to work out the lowest cost possible, which is with the eye perceive in the spirit, what is the best? We were seeking to buy plastic chairs. Probably cost about $15 or so. Thinking about the budget. And one brother who is a prayer warrior, rang me up and say, I perceive that we should get better chairs. Get those like the hotel where we're using. I said, brother, do you know the cost? Yes. But this is the way he put it. Pastor, pray about that. And since the Lord says, thus says the Lord, move in, but he didn't say in detail, moving with what chairs? It was left up to our human spirit to decide. You should be glad we decide on this. To sit on a 5-hour service. You'll be rubbing yourself. And so he designed it for 5-hour service. Thank God. Next time when our services go to 24 hours, God may help us design chairs that can move a bit. Once you know, press the button and you scratch your back. No. Right. So, that brother had a eye perceiving a lot. Right. He didn't come with that says the Lord. And I said, alright, I'll pray about it. I pray about it. And the Lord spoke to me 2 days later and said, go ahead. And you know what the Lord says? You get the chairs that you can believe for. You get that whatever chairs you can believe for. If all you have faith is tree trunks cut off and put there, you have tree trunks. And he said, Lord, you leave that choice to us. Lord said, yes, get at whatever faith level you can. He said, Lord, this is good. And so we went ahead with these chairs. And we are glad we got them. I'm glad. That brother rang me up and changed the decision. With a, I perceive. I perceive. Now there is a, that says a lot that you cannot change. If that brother rang me up and says, I don't think it's God's will for us to move out of the hotels yet. I would say, sorry, you heard wrongly. So he was not questioning the vision, but was adding to it. When we were starting this church, I had a sister rang me up and said, "The Lord told me to tell you that you're not to start the church." Yeah, that says a lot. In fact, I had about 4 people told me that says a lot. And I told them, either you heard wrongly or I heard. There's no compromise. You see, there's some things, when I use that says a lot, and you say that says a lot, there's no more compromise. Especially when they're different direction. And I said, "No, my dear sister, the Lord told me to study and the Lord has given me a name for it. And He has given me the plan of the organization. And He has given me the structure. And there's a thus says the Lord." I said, "Sister, you didn't hear from the Lord. You heard from your own self. Not even from your own human spirit. You heard from your own mind. Because if your human spirit hears it, it will confirm it." See, there are some things that are thus says the Lord. You know the Holy Spirit said. There are some things that just a human spirit pick up. And a human spirit, when they pick up some things, it is just like I call the true blind mind having one aspect of truth, where you have all the others. Now God makes our leadings in that direction so that we can grow. Imagine if all the time He speaks to you, "That says the Lord, that says the Lord," our human spirit will never grow. You become like a robot. Anything you need to do, you come to God. "Lord, what next?" "That says the Lord." Alright, from 9 to 10, this is what you do. From 10 to 12, this is what you do. Every day you do that. You are no better than a robot. Our spirit will never grow to be like God. God wants our spirits to grow. Like what Robert Sladen said in one of his books. Where he is saying that our spirit will grow until what we perceive in the spirit is exactly what God wants. That is growth, my friend. When our very spirits become mature in the senses and in the nature and in the will of God. Without even a that says, "Oh, your spirit know this is the right thing that God wants." When you know what the Lord wants to do, even before He speaks, that's maturity. So He matures our spirit. That's the second area that we say the difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the human spirit. Authority. The Holy Spirit carries authority that you cannot question. That's why we have to be very careful when somebody says that. Sometimes when people say that says a lot, there's no anointing, you know it. They're just cooking it up. Sometimes it could be their human spirit and there's no anointing upon. So you know that it's their human spirit, but they use the that says a lot, which is actually a wrong usage. If your human spirit use, I perceive. If it's really the Holy Spirit, then you use that says a lot. And I have mixed it in my leadings and in helping people. Sometimes as I counsel them, I would tell them, "All right, this is that says a lot. This is the vision that I see." And whether they agree or not, my responsibility is just to give it. But if it's I perceive, I will tell them so. So we have to be sensitive to both. These areas, His presence, and the commanding authority and presence. It's just like, we all realize that now the voice of the Holy Spirit is also gentle. And we realize that there's the same voice can be commanding. However gentle or loud He speaks, there's a command that you sort of don't question. It comes with it. It carries a greater and higher authority with it. Praise God. Those are 2 areas that we cover on the differences. We cover more as we go along. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise You and thank You that You continue to teach us and guide us to be led by Your Spirit. We ask, O Father God, that as we mature in You, we may learn more and more to differentiate between what Your Spirit teaches. And we ask, O God, that through this series, we may walk closely with You. We will be people who, when we hear a thus says the Lord, we will lock ourselves in it and be unchangeable, unmovable, so that You could use us to spearhead and cut through every mountain. We thank You, Father God, for Your grace unto our life. Let Your grace continue abound mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rise together.